Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
The song Strange Fruit was made famous by Billie Holiday. But the voice you hear singing those lyrics, a chilling description of a lynching, is that of Andra Day in her role as the iconic singer in the Lee Daniels film The United States versus Billie Holiday. The performance earned Day a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Drama and a nomination for an Academy Award for Best Actress. All this week we've been looking at nominees who are up for awards this Sunday. The script for The United States versus Billie Holiday was written by Pulitzer Prize winner Susan Laurie Parks and is centered on Holiday's activism, revealing how her refusal to stop singing the anti-lynching song Strange Fruit made her an FBI target. When Andra Day and Lee Daniels joined me on All of It to discuss the film in March, I began our conversation by asking Lee what the title of the film meant and how he wanted to frame his telling of the story of Billie's life.
That the government tried to take this woman down. This mm-hmm. black woman down, that they tried to take her and silence her from singing a song about lynching, Strange Fruit. And they knew that it was going to cause an uproar. They knew that they had to silence her because she was going to kick off the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want it. Hoover didn't want it, and Anslinger didn't want it.
Andra, how is this film not only about her personal story, but also about the power of art?
You know, it's the power of truth, you know, mm-hmm. and Billie Holiday's art was truthful. Strange Fruit was truthful, you know, and I think that can be, you know, a scary thing when we think about a system of racial inequality, when we think about women's voices being suppressed. And we think about their struggles being suppressed, their triumph, their contribution being suppressed. And it's black people, those things happening, you know, those are systems that are based off of deception. You know, those are systems that are based off of lies. They're systems that are based off of one group of people controlling everyone's narrative. And, you know, music is something that is full of truth, or can be full of truth. And Billie Holiday and her, the way she lived her life, as well as the music that she sang, she was a huge dose of truth that was, mm-hmm. you know, threatened to undo that system, to dismantle that system. And so they had to silence her voice. And I think it really speaks to Billie Holiday just living as a free woman. You know, I hear constantly that she was troubled and she was complex. There's nothing complex about her. She was a black woman, a black queer woman living in the 1930s and 40s. And 50s, that's the complexity. That's the trouble, you know, is that mm-hmm. the entire government wanted to silence her for singing a song about lynching in America, that they wanted that culture to persist, the freedom to be able to do that to persist, and inequality to persist, supremacy to persist, and even the men in her life being so abusive to her and sort of pumping drugs into our community and criminalizing black bodies. They wanted all that to persist. That's complicated. That's troubled. You know what I mean? She was just doing what was right.
Andra, when was the first time you heard Billie Holiday? Do you remember the first time you heard her voice?
Mm-hmm. I was like 11 or 12 years old. And I was looking for singers to study and was introduced to her. And I heard a song called Sugar. And I just loved the, I don't know, I was really, more than anything, I was actually confused by the tone of her voice, the sound of her voice. I just remember thinking it's nothing like the Whitney Houstons or the, you know, Aretha and the Gladys and the Patties and the, you know, what I had, you know, grown up was used to hearing up until that time. But she was really just transfixing and it was just such an interesting tone, and just where she placed everything was so interesting and different. So, I mean, really, she eventually helped me to own my own sound and my own contribution, right, to music or to the art. And then I heard Strange Fruit, which is just the second song I heard. And, you know, I was too young at the time to fully understand the gravity of what she was saying. But I felt it, I will tell you. Just all I felt was bad for her. I just felt, you know, like heartbroken, like, okay, this woman lost something, or, you know, mm-hmm. I just want to help her. And I understood that it was important, that it directly impacted myself and people that I loved. And so that really just, yeah, inspired me to just want to stop people like that, you know, with whatever it is that I created.
Lee, did you always know you wanted someone who could sing the songs for this part?
I didn't know. As I was coming along, I didn't know what it is that I wanted. I just was sort of led by Billy's voice. It's interesting, you know, Susan Laurie Parks, when she was writing the script, said that she heard Billy in her, the voice of Billy telling her what to write and wanting to please Billy. And people ask how I stumbled across Billy Andrew. I had actors that trained actors, celebrities even, if you want to, that had auditioned, and I was listening to Billy's voice, and when I saw Andra's work, it was there was just no denying it, that she, even though she'd not acted before, it was the spirit of Billy. She wasn't even saying the lines during the audition.
Oh, interesting.
It was a clip. Yeah, it was a clip that her acting coach sent me, unbeknownst to Andra, having her prep, you know, having that transfer from Andra into Billy, that that you saw the soul of Billie Holiday. So it wasn't even I guess in hindsight, I should have been concerned about who was playing this important role, but I wasn't concerned about it at all. I knew that I wouldn't do the movie if I couldn't find the right person.
So wait, Andrew, so your acting coach goes and sends this clip. Yeah. When you found out, what did you say? Like, wait, you did what?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I was sort of just like, first of all, I was terrified. So at that point, I was still trying to figure out a way out of it, even though I was like, no, I'm going to go through this. I said I'm going to audition. I'm going to audition, you know, but I was like, but they're definitely not going to choose me. I was like, and I was kind of hoping that's how it would go, because I was so scared. And just, I mean, even, you know, even though she would be encouraging me, or, you know, I never really felt like it was good enough. You know, it just felt, you know, you can feel places in yourself where you feel like, well, this feels phony, or this feels, you know, it's not Billy enough, or it's not doing her enough, you know? And I didn't know exactly, but I was just happy to hear back that he liked it, you know? I was like, wow. I was more than anything just surprised to hear that he liked it, you know? And I just, you know, the more we went through the process and the more I prayed about it, the more I realized, like, I think this is something we're supposed to do, you know? But yeah, I was just, as far as the audition process, I don't know, I was sort of just given over completely to what it is they needed and wanted. And, you know, cause again, I was, I don't know, in my mind, I was just making plans like, okay, now will be the time they realize that I'm terrible and we're going to move forward in our lives with other things. So I didn't know. I didn't even feel really any type of way about it. I just was shocked that he liked it. And I was like, what is going on? This is crazy.
Huh. That's interesting. I wonder if that vulnerability actually ended up being useful, because we needed not Billy to see a victim, but we needed to see a little bit, you know, sort of pegged into her vulnerability. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, probably, you know, I think that also is a testament to how Lee directs, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny because, Lee, you probably remember, you know, but so I worked with Tasha Penn for the audition, you know. And then a little bit that year, but for the most of the year, they just had me just kind of sitting like, okay, great, you have these tools. So now you're just doing your own work and just sit and sit and sit and sit. And so Lee really made the decision, and I was paranoid. I was like, oh my God, what's he doing? You know, I'm terrified. So he made the decision not to have her work with me until, what was it, Lee? Maybe like 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember? like intensively, like right before we started filming again, you know, and I believe it did work because I was so nervous. I mean, there were knots in my stomach. I was scared. I just felt like I wasn't doing it right every time. But it was because I think he just, what he would say is like, I just want your honest reaction. And he, you know, he definitely got it, you know, like pulling out that style like that. So it scared me. But then I look back and I'm like, wow, that was just, I don't know, just a brilliant move, you know.
Because it was really, but it was also Andra. It was Billy, but it was really Andra and what Andra has experienced in her own life.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that we, you know, tapped into Andra. It was really Andra, but, you know, she was dialed up like Billy. And so she just transferred Andra into Billy, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm. My guests are Lee Daniels and Andra Day. We're talking about their film, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Let's talk about the look of the film. It's very stylized. It's quite beautiful. The costumes are beautiful. The set design is gorgeous. So, Lee, you've worked in period before. Everybody remembers The Butler. It's great, great looks in The Butler. It took us along that journey.
Yeah.
What were your conversations like with your creative team about how you wanted this film to look?
I wanted to tap back into what it was like to be like, I wanted you to know in every scene that you were watching, you were living in the 50s, you were living in the 40s, and that you were living in the 50s. And I wanted my cinematographer to sort of, I wanted you to also feel that the film was shot in the 70s or the early 80s. To make you believe that you were in the 50s. That's a very specific. So we shot on film, and there are like four films this year that were shot on film. We shot on film so that we could be in theaters. And it's very expensive to shoot on film. It's like $250,000 to shoot on film.
Wow.
And if I had known that we were going to be in streaming, I would have saved that money and put some, maybe put it in Andra's pocket or my pocket. But yeah, it was really important to show Black people. It was really important to show Black people that were glamorous. I think of my grandmother. Mm-hmm. I think of my great grandmother. I think of my aunts, uncles, and they were very stylish. I think of Harlem. Mm-hmm. I think of Lady Sings the Blues, and they really captured it, what Diana Ross did and what Billy Dee Williams did and what Barry Gordy did with Richard Pryor. They captured the essence of what Harlem Black folks were like in that day in all of its glamour. And I really wanted to show, I wanted to honor Billy. I wanted to honor that period of Black folk that we don't see. We simply don't see. The studios don't give us money to put into production design and to costumes the way they should. They do it for white films. They don't do it for Black films. And so I guess that's the reason why we didn't have a studio behind us, because it was important for me to honor Billie's legacy and the world that she was in. So it was, bottom line, it was important for me to show this, this fabulous world of Blackness that we rarely see.
Andra, aside from being a lot of fun to get up all dressed up like that, how did it help you as a performer?
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, when you're in the world, you know, it's not just the costume and it's everything together, the costume and the hair and the makeup, the sets, you know, the lighting, and just everyone's energy. Everyone's just in their character all the time, you know, so it's like, it's so funny because my co-stars and I will talk about how we're just kind of like learning each other, you know, a little bit now, you know. But it was really interesting, though. I will tell you, it just felt, I mean, I had been working with Lee so closely for years, a couple of years leading up to that, and which was a blessing that we ended up having that time. So grateful for that. But it was funny because it wasn't like I put the clothes on. I was like, oh, my gosh, I look like Billie Holiday. I'm ready. It really, by that point, you know, and everything we had gone back and forth and how kind of deep we sort of dropped in, it just literally felt like turning around and looking at a mirror and being like, you know, there I am. It just felt very much like I, you know, it just felt like the surroundings and the body and the incredible costume. Paolo Nieto was just like an incredibly hard worker and worked so close with Lee and with myself and all the actors. And it just felt like it all caught up to sort of where we were at in our head for the last, what would you say, literally like year and a half, 2 years, you know? And so it was just like, it was really, really, fully transported and entrenched. It was, I didn't want to leave, honestly. You know, I'm still looking at my closet right now, like, oh, okay. My regular life colored house. I'm like, this is not Andrew's lighting. This is not, maybe I'll move like Lee. Lee directs me to my kitchen.
You're listening to my conversation with Andra Day and Lee Daniels about their film, The United States versus Billie Holiday. We'll continue with more after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests this hour are Lee Daniels and Andra Day. We're talking about their film, The United States versus Billie Holiday. So, Andra, it's been written about a lot. I know you've spoken a lot about, you had, aside from the beautiful lighting and the costuming, you went through a personal physical transformation, losing a lot of weight, doing some things that you don't do, that good singers, not good singers, but a lot of singers don't do. They don't smoke and they don't drink and all those things. They take care of their instruments. While you were going through all this, what did your friends and family think?
It was rough, you know, it was just, I mean, they were all proud of me, you know what I mean? But it was rough, you know, it's rough seeing, you know, the weight loss. They know I wasn't taking care of myself, you know, so that's scary. And then like, you know, the time kind of, it's for a long period of time, you know, so, the weight loss, definitely the smoking and the drinking and just cussing, just changing my behaviors, you know, I mean, it was hard for them to see me go through it. You know, they were proud, they understood, but I think they all questioned, like, are you doing too much? You know what I mean? Are you going too far? Are you, you know, I don't know if I really did question it, actually, to be honest. I think I maybe did when they did, you know, but, but I don't know. I had a piece about it, and that's one thing I just kept reminding them was, you know, if you feel a certain way, just pray about it, you know, because I did, and I feel a peace about it. So, I mean, it definitely took a toll on, you know, family, friends, on work. You know, I wasn't able to do certain things, but it was, you know, I don't know. The Lee's storytelling, Susan Laurie Park's script, Johan Hari's research, Billie Holiday herself, she deserved that level. She deserves that level of dedication. You know, she gave up her life, right? You know, she ultimately died for fighting for us. So, you know, I'm smoke a little cigarettes and, you know, do some drinking and stuff, take care of my voice and, you know, all this stuff, you know, I'll be fine. You know, she's worth it, you know.
Lee, how do you guide a first-time actor who wants to come in? How do you help someone who's a first-time actor, full in, really dedicated, but you know you have to look out for this person?
Yeah, very protected of her. Which sort of my energy sort of spread to everybody else, the actors and to our crew, because we saw that she was 175% committed to telling the story. She wasn't half stepping. The love scene was painful to for me than for the two actors that were nude. It was I felt for them. So It was more painful for my cinematographer and myself. My cinematographer in particular, who was sweating over the bed as he was up close on them.
No.
I felt so bad for him. You know, when you have that level of commitment from an artist, you have to protect it. And she was fragile. She tapped into Billie. There was a moment where you said you've seen the film. Right before she goes to the hospital, she's on the bed with Jimmy, and Jimmy turns to her, and Jimmy says, "I love you, Billie Holiday." And Andra, as Billie, can't process that, of course, and lashes out with, "My liver don't work no more." And her eyes became
vacant. I'm talking, I could see nothing, and nothing is hard to do. So I stopped and I cut and I pulled him over and I said, I looked at Trevante. I was like, maybe, you know, because oftentimes actors have a communication that the director doesn't, it's not in on. I looked at him like, is she high? Is she really high? Is something going on with her that I don't know about? And I looked at Andrew. I said, Andrew, are you okay? And she snapped out of it. She says, what am I doing wrong? Am I okay? And I saw that it was God at work. It was the spirit at work. It was Billy at work, because I had taken her out of the moment. And I was then upset with myself for taking her out of the moment. I said, no, we're good. Keep going. And she kept going. But it was a really telling moment for me, like the commitment of where this actor was going for me. And I will forever be grateful for it.
Let's play a scene from the film. Obviously, we talked about this at the top, central to the story. The reason that the feds, the United States, is versus Billie Holiday is this anti-lynching protest song, Strange Fruit. Her people keep telling her, you got to stop singing this. Let's hear a clip from the film. This is Billie reacting to finding out that Strange Fruit has been cut from her set list.
I cut Strange Fruit.
No, Joe, I want to sing the damn song, all right? The club advertises it. People pay good money to come here and hear me sing it.
I've told you 100 times, people in high places don't want you singing that song.
And I've asked you over 100 times, what people, Joe? What you looking at him for? I'm no one pays you.
The government.
Yeah, the government. People like your buddy Anselm, right?
What with that, huh?
The song means a lot to me, Joe.
Mirapol wrote it and he's f***ing call me.
All right, come on. I don't care, all right? It's important to me.
You ain't singing that song.
I sing the f*** I want.
Andrew, you know, everyone knows you have the beautiful singing voice. How did you come to her speaking voice?
Thank you, first of all. I think coming to her speaking voice was,
Okay, Andrew, I got to interrupt you. Andrew, I have to interrupt you because all of a sudden, after hearing Billy, you already have picked, you tapped back into Billy again. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Your voice is a little bit more like Billy after hearing that.
Yeah. Well,
that's really crazy.
I was actually just thinking, that's a little weird. I did feel that. And you know what? And I think it was in an effort right now to make my voice not sound like her. I was like, oh God, I had to sing Strange Fruit. I just woke up, and last night I had a performance, Lee, and I had to sing Strange Fruit for it, you know? And it was a mix of Billy's version and my version. So it was like, it was a very weird experience. It felt like trying to sing it like me was like being in different skin, you know? So it was kind of funny. And then even hearing her right now, I'm like, every time I hear her or I hear those, it does, like my mom will say it too. She's kind of like, oh, you're sounding a little bit like her. It's like just trying to check me a little bit. But, you know, I think I've just like accepted, like, okay, it's going to take time, you know, to really, and all parts will not work themselves out, and I don't want them to, you know. So, but I think, you know, Lee introduced me to Tasha Smith, my acting coach, and to Tom Jones, my dialect coach. And we really, you know, one of the things he would say is I don't want an impersonation. It has to be an interpretation, you know. So I would do all this research and like listen and practice. And we would find, you know, train the muscles to find where she spoke from, right? She's much higher in her throat. I'm deeper in my chest. Mm-hmm. And she has so much gravel that I didn't have, you know. And so I was like, okay, how are we going to earn this gravel pretty quickly? And it was just, you know, training and practicing and we really entered her through her laughter, because that was something that resonated most with me. And then, damn it, Lee, it's so weird. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to be cussing. I'm sorry. I mean, dang. even right now, Lee, I feel like a weirdo, like I can't shake it. But okay, anyway. But yeah, so we chased it through her breath, you know, because she would chase her breath all the time. Mm-hmm. And then they would remind me, okay, well, now all of that research, right, vocal research, all that thing, you got to fill it with a human being, with your experiences. And so they kind of showed me, you know, just how to do that, you know, and how to hold on to it, you know. So, and then obviously the smoking and the drinking and the not drinking cold things and you know, cold water, ice, and gin instead of hot tea and, you know, mm-hmm. and just not warming up my throat, just being loud, being more boisterous and not taking care of my chords. I mean, honestly, yeah, I had to earn her husk. I had to earn her gravel that she had gotten over a period of 44 years in a very short period of time. So, you know, they worked with me, you know, closely, intensively.
Lee, you have to make all kinds of choices as a director. Constantly. That's what directors do. They make choices all the time. And you have to make choices about how graphic to be, how literal to be, how subtle to be. One of the things I thought was interesting in the film, we see the drug use, and it's pretty graphic sometimes. Billie Holiday had a long-term drug addiction, and addiction, of course, is a disease. Why did you want to have us experience it so viscerally, so close up?
That was a specific choice, and it was part of Billie, and it was shying away from, either I was going to shy away from it, or I was going to just sort of allude to it, or I was going to show the needle popping the skin so we could flinch, and then stop and go along with the wave. There's like 30 seconds of silence post the needle hitting the skin. So you see the calm that she had and that she needed to exist. And I wanted us to feel a little bit like, what was it like to, I have not done heroin, but I wanted to feel, what is it like to do heroin? And that quiet sort of after the injection sort of swept me away into, wow, okay, so maybe this is what it's like to have done it. And the graphicness is something that I fought with constantly, because I didn't want to be exploited in any way, but I thought it was really important to, she lived a hard life. She lived a hard life, and there was no PG version of this at all. And I was going to back out of the sex scene a little bit, because people think that scene is, the scene that you see is graphic. People say that you see the scene that you see is graphic, but the actual scene is very, very graphic. And there's no way you can tell Billie's story without being graphic. And a lot of it I haven't put into the film at all. A lot of the stuff that you would really like, check out the director's cut. Coming soon, and then let's have a conversation about graphic.
That was my conversation with director Lee Daniels and Andra Day about their film The United States versus Billie Holiday, which earned Andra Day a Golden Globe Award and a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Lead Actress in her role as Billie Holiday. The Academy Awards are this Sunday.